I took a deep breath and bent over and took the levers. I heaved my legs under me and felt the grind of weight at my feet. I heaved again and heard the wires and connections tearing out of the floor. I lurched it up to my knees and was able to get an arm around it and my other hand under it. The chrome was cold against my neck and the side of my head. I put my back toward the screen, then spun and let the momentum carry the panel through the screen and window with a ripping crash. The glass splashed out in the moon, like bright cold water baptizing the sleeping earth. Panting, I thought for a second about going back and getting Scanlan and some of the others. But then I heard the running squeak of the black boy's shoes in the hall, and I put my hand on the sill and vaulted after the panel, into the moonlight. I ran across the grounds in the direction I remembered seeing the dog go, toward the highway. I remember I was taking huge strides as I ran, seeming to step and float a long ways before my next foot struck the earth. I felt like I was flying. Free. Nobody bothers coming after an AWOL, I knew, and Scanlan could handle any questions about the dead man. No need to be running like this. But I didn't stop. I ran for miles before I stopped and walked up the embankment onto the highway. I caught a ride with a guy, a Mexican guy, going north in a truck full of sheep, and gave him such a good story about me being a professional Indian wrestler the syndicate had tried to lock up in a nut house that he stopped real quick and gave me a leather jacket to cover my greens and loaned me $10 to eat on while I hitchhiked to Canada. I had him write his address down before he drove off, and I told him I'd send him the money as soon as I got a little ahead. I might go to Canada eventually, but I think I'll stop along the Columbia on the way. I'd like to check around Portland and Hood River and the Dalles to see if there's any of the guys I used to know back in the village who haven't drunk themselves goofy. I'd like to see what they've been doing since the government tried to buy their right to be Indians. I've even heard that some of the tribe have took to building their old ramshackle wood scaffolding all over that big million-dollar hydroelectric dam and are spearing salmon in the spillway. I'd give something to see that. Mostly, I'd just like to look over the country around the gorge again, just to bring some of it clear in my mind again. I've been away a long time. This concludes the reading of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Copyright 1962 by Ken Kesey. This book was read by Tom Parker. This unabridged recording of the reading of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was published by arrangement with Penguin USA and was produced in 1997 by Blackstone Audiobooks Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. If you would like to obtain a mail-order catalog or additional information about our growing line of audiobooks, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. Thank you.